Beyonce. Is that, are we doing all Beyonce today? I
think, yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. So from the production room back there, they're just doing all Beyonce. Cause today's, is today Beyonce day? Is that the deal?
It's Beyonce week, but she's Beyonce in town week. This weekend.
Oh, I see. That's why we're doing, I need to get with it. You know, I have no doubt that Dr. Melanie Johnson is with it though. And she knows that it's Beyonce week. Dr. Johnson, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Yes, I'm a Beyonce fan, and I am aware that it's Beyonce week, month,
year,
weekend,
century.
You name it.
This is a Beyonce world, right. And we are living in it, Dr. Johnson. Dr. Johnson, are you going to the concert, the Beyonce concert this weekend?
Unfortunately, I won't be at the concert this weekend, but I have a related event to go to at Tootsie's, where they're the photographer who made that famous photograph of Beyonce for her recent album and made her very, very famous, will be there with the Longnecker Gallery. So I will be there.
Oh, wow, very good.
My fair share of celebrating Beyonce's life.
Yeah, yeah. But I have no doubt that you and I would both rather be at the concert than at Tootsie's, right? So,
but Dr. Bob's going to neither.
I'm going to neither. Yeah, so, very good. So, Dr. Johnson is the CEO of Collaborative for Children and one of the nominees for Outstanding Child Advocate. Melanie, give us an idea of how are we doing in regards to early education in Houston and the work that you guys are doing at Collaborative to rectify that.
Yeah, I think in Houston, we've pushed a reset button as a result of COVID. You know, child care centers, about a third of them had closed during that time, and now they're back and trying to flourish, but with temporary funds, temporary federal funds that have been pushed down through our state and local agencies. And I think just where we are now is the fear of how does this influx of funds sustain? And so we're trying to, at Collaborative for Children, we're trying to make sure that we offer the biggest impact for sustainability as possible. So the way in which we do that are through our centers of excellence, and they are located in, of course, child care deserts, which kind of permeates our entire landscape. But we make sure that those centers, those existing child care centers in under-resourced areas, have a strong business acumen for their leadership, the owner or the director, that the teachers have a master teacher on staff that can not only make sure that there are child outcomes that are supportive towards kindergarten, but also that that master teacher can shed light on other teachers in that facility. And then finally, engage and empower parents so that parents know exactly what kindergarten readiness or school readiness looks like for their children and how to assist them at home. So those, we believe, will be sustainable approaches far beyond temporary funds.
Yeah, yeah. Are you worried? I mean, last week we talked about sort of the funding cliff, you know, that's going to happen as some of this ARPA or federal money runs out. Are you worried about the state of early education as we hit some of these funding cliffs?
You know, it's odd that you should ask that. The timing's perfect because yesterday I was at Harris County speaking in front of the commissioner's court. And this project that Harris County, that Judge Hidalgo has established called the Early Childhood Impact Fund is to pilot a comprehensive approach between public and private entities to make sure that we can prove that this funding needs to persist through the county and that the county needs to continue to vote for it. So I went there to speak to the commissioners about such attempts to approve the budget, for one, because that's always a daunting thing, but certainly to improve it to sustain early childhood education. So am I concerned? I think much of it is in our local government's hands. The state has done what it has done. They've even increased a little bit of funding.
Yep.
For early childhood education, especially for public school pre-K. But I am worried, I'm a little concerned that we need to approve budgets on the local level now and do our fair share.
Yeah.
Yeah, something really cool. I mean, Collaborative for Children in general, hearing the models is exciting to me, especially in the K-12 space. It's something they can take a lesson from and invest from with the master teacher model and the training and support. But something really cool is the Collab Lab. Can you talk a little bit about that and innovative solutions to child care deserts?
Yes, I love to talk about the Collab Lab.
It's also a great name.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so cool. So the Collab Lab is our mobile school, if you will, that goes into areas that can't tend to have a paying clientele for high-quality early child care. Of course, that's most of Houston, but these are areas that we cannot establish a brick-and-mortar building because there's just there's a very low possibility of parents being able to pay for quality. So we drive that quality right out to them with this school on wheels. It has a mirror image of Houston. It has a space center. It has parks and grocery stores because children need to see places that are familiar to them and be able to learn to navigate the larger world outside their homes. And but in those, embedded in those experiences in the Collab Lab are, you know, tactile, you know, fine motor skills, but school readiness skills so that we can help both generations, mom and dad and the child, be prepared for and empowered for school readiness.
Dr. Johnson, one of the things that you and I have talked about in the past is this idea that if there's a silver bullet around ending the cycle of child poverty, it's high quality early education. And how long before we get to the point where you and I could talk about there are no child care deserts, that every child, if not almost every child, has access to high quality full day early education? How long before we get to that point? Because it's, if you look just at the evidence, you would think everyone would be clamoring for super high quality early education.
I think, you know, I can't put a finite amount of time on when we're going to get there, but I will say that until we start to realize that all the challenges that we're trying to immediately solve, even though it takes a while for someone who's 4 years of age to rightfully own the positions in renewable energy and, you know, alternative fuels and climate tech and biotech, while it might take a while for them to, you know, to take those roles and become leaders in our environment and solve problems that we need to solve, we need to recognize right now that that is the time to start building those future leaders. So I think there's, you know, in every kind of zeitgeist or movement known to man, some kind of inertia took place, whereas people had no choice. And so I hope that whatever kind of cataclysmic thing that happens to make us prioritize starting at the beginning of a child's, you know, educational tenure, that is a positive one and not a, you know, pandemic or something even more dire. Yeah.
It's interesting, too, to think about. You think it'd be a no-brainer, as everything in education seems. What do you, if you had a room of everyone in Houston, every stakeholder that would make the decision, what is one urgent thing that you think should be pressing on their minds and that you would encourage they prioritize?
You know, because we're a workforce state, you know, and our early childhood education falls under workforce, the emphasis is on the first generation primarily. You know, let's get parents out to work. Let's rate child care centers. Let's, you know, for their quality so that we can get more parents out to work. But we essentially need to make sure that we can get more children off to school ready. And so the one thing that I would offer to our legislators, policymakers, et cetera, would be that we make sure that every concerted effort that falls under the early childhood auspice, that it has one goal, that the child, that there's a, well, at least that they have one metric that they need to add, is that children, that we move the needle for academic growth or preparation for children, cognitive and social emotional for children. That's the one metric that's left off every kind of early education kind of a state-funded initiative. And I would really wish, I mean, we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're putting some efforts towards, you know, a consolidated teacher-pupil interaction system, those kinds of things. But we really need to measure outcomes, not just outputs.
Yeah, very good. Dr. Melanie Johnson is with Collaborative for Children, one of the great organizations in Houston. And Melanie is one of my favorite activists in our space here. And so thank you very much, Dr. Johnson, and thank your whole team for all the great work you do. And thanks for being on with Claire and Dr. Bob on Growing Up in America.
It's my pleasure. All right. Thanks again. Thanks for having me.
All right. Talk to you soon.